Nothing is original.
Your life is not interesting.
Stop distracting yourself.
We're not really mad at each other, folks. We're going to talk today about harsh advice for songwriters.
Yes.
And some people may take issue with some of these. That's fine. Put your thoughts in the comments. But this is harsh advice that we have learned or we have been told. And we're going to kick it off with Clay.
Nothing is original. Mm. And there's a famous quote, and I know I'm going to mess this up, but I'm going to paraphrase.
Okay.
That's an expensive word, paraphrase.
It is. Yeah.
C.S. Lewis, awesome author, said something to the effect that no one who bothers with being original is going to be original. And what he means by that is if you're so concerned about trying to be original and write something that has never been written before, and he's like, just realize that everything has been written. Every subject's been written about. So focus more on telling your truth in an honest way. And along the way, you're going to find yourself becoming more original because it's you.
Right.
You know, but this idea that you can't let anything influence you, you know, first of all, you'll stop learning. You know, if you're totally original, that means you can't learn anything.
Right.
And try being successful in anything in life if you don't learn. So I really took that to heart early on, that because I suffered from that. I remember being in college and not wanting to listen to my instructors. I was like, oh, they're old music. I don't want to hear anything about that. And it was so stupid because later, in order to be successful at writing songs, I had to start learning how to learn, you know, and I had to learn from people that came before me, and I had to learn what I could bring that was different. And I had to stop worrying about being so freaking original and just start writing songs that I felt and what mattered to me.
Yeah. To my knowledge, there's one song title I've written out of about 10,000 songs that nobody had ever written before.
Right.
One, you know, and
even those that you thought were totally original, mm-hmm. you later come to find out, well, there's how many billions of people on the planet, somebody in the history of the world has written that same idea.
Yeah.
That same title.
Exactly.
So what was the title? No one else.
It was called A Better Idea. And it was
literally a better idea.
Exactly. But the idea of the song was God made a man and then he had a better idea and he made a woman.
Yeah.
And,
I love that story you tell about that. I'm going to get us off track here, but tell us that story that you called.
No, well, I used that title to get a write with Tom Shapiro, who's one of my heroes.
Right. So at that point, you were struggling songwriter trying to find some success, and you had heard that Tom Shapiro, if you brought him a great idea, that he would be open to writing with you.
Yeah. And so I researched and found this one idea that I could find that had never been written. And I went to him with that idea, and we wrote it, got it cut on. Actually got a gold record because of your song, Beautiful Mess.
But there's more to that story. You told me at first he didn't like the idea.
Well, his first impulse was, well, I'm not sure I believe that women are better than men.
Yes.
And I said, but do you believe that could be a hit song? And he said, I do believe that. So we wound up writing it together. And that started me being able to use titles to get in with him and other people that I probably didn't deserve to be in the room with at that point.
Right. So you found out that learning to come up with great, unique ideas was your golden ticket to get into some good writing rooms and to be able. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And we're way off topic, but hopefully that was helpful. The next one is, your life is not interesting. And this was brought to my attention in a big way, in a co-write with a Hall of Fame songwriter. We were writing with a 17, 18-year-old girl that was an artist, and he threw out an amazing line. It worked on like 3 or 4 levels. It was the perfect line, and she kind of wrinkled her nose up and said, I wouldn't say that. And he just put down his guitar, and he said, honey, why not? And she said, well, that's just not my story. And he said, you think your story at 17 years old is interesting enough to get 35-year-old housewives off the couch to go buy your album or listen to your song. And he kind of laid into her and he said, if you were an actress and you could only say things that you've ever said before.
In real life,
right. How long would you be an actress? And she said, not very long. And he said, right. And she said, okay, let's use that line.
Yeah, so you have to be open to writing outside yourself. Mm-hmm. It can't all 100. I mean, because honestly, how many songs, if we only write our story, how many, you're not going to have very many songs.
Yeah. There's none of us live a life that's interesting enough to just continually day after
not
day.
Not at 17, you know.
Not even at our age, I don't think. But,
yeah.
You know, so the point being, don't feel like you have to only write your story. Give yourself some liberty to make your story more impactful or
yes.
or more interesting or more emotional.
Yeah.
What's next?
Excuses don't matter.
That's an excuse.
And gosh, this works on so many levels because it is so easy to fall into this trap. I want to be a songwriter. I want my songs to matter to the world. But, and then you have a whole list, but I got to work a day job. You know, you and I work day jobs. I don't want to be too hard on you guys, but we both had families. You have to find a way to write on your lunch hour, to write, you know, when all the kids are at sleep at night. You have to get past this idea of I can't succeed because of something. Some people, it's like, well, I can't succeed until I learn to play piano. You know, if I was a better piano player, I could write better songs. No. I know Hall of Fame songwriters that are terrible musicians, but they are brilliant at maybe writing lyrics. They're brilliant at playing simple chords on the piano or simple chords on the guitar, but writing incredible songs around those simple chords. I mean, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, one of my favorite Otis Redding songs, one chord position on guitar and you slide it up and down the neck a few times and you've got the whole entire song. You know, it's there's nothing that you shouldn't let that stand in your way, you know, your musicianship. Another thing I hear a lot is the business is rigged. You know, it's too hard. It's only, you got to know somebody. You and I knew no one when we got in the business. You meet people, you know, mm-hmm. you make friends, you learn. But I could tell you one thing that helps, the better you are at writing songs, the better you're going to be at opening doors.
Mm-hmm.
If you give Marty and I a great song, we can take that song and open doors with it. If you give us a good song that's just okay, yeah, you're going to get, what did our friend Steve Martin say?
I think he says, be so good they can't ignore you.
Yes, that's what you're looking for. You want to be so good that you can't be ignored. And you got to write a song so good that it opens doors. So whatever your excuse is, and there are thousands of excuses, and I've had them all. It wasn't until I got rid of the excuses and put my success on my shoulders that I began to make progress and reach my goals. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, my first publisher and mentor, one of the things he said all the time was, nobody cares more about your success than you do.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to make it happen more than you make it happen. You know, and he encouraged me to, you know, get rid of the excuses of, well, I don't have any success. That's why you can't get success till you have success, or people just don't get my music and that kind of stuff. And he basically told me the people who succeed put their butt in the chair every day and write.
Yeah.
You know, and so he just wouldn't listen to that stuff. And he had been burned over like 90% of his body in an accident.
Ooh.
And he would say to me, if I was feeling sorry for myself or making excuses, he would say, look at me.
Oh, God.
And he had scars all over his face.
Oh,
and,
man.
And he said, if I can do it, you can do it without complaining.
Man, how, yeah, I mean, And what a funny guy who had no reason to laugh at life. Man, I mean, because if you see pictures of him, I mean, he's literally burned all over.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just amazing, funny person.
Exactly. The next one is, writer's block is not real.
It's not?
People may argue with this. I don't know. There are days when we all don't feel inspired.
Yeah.
But the difference in people who use that as an excuse and the people who succeed is that the people who succeed don't accept that.
Right.
They have learned ways to inspire themselves.
It's an excuse. Writer's block is the ultimate excuse.
Yeah, it is. And so I wrote a blog about this week about just different ways I've learned to inspire myself if I'm not feeling it. You know, so if I walk in and I'm about to do a co-write and I just don't feel inspired that day, there are things I can do to get inspired. And so just being proactive and going, okay, here's the feeling I'm feeling, but I'm not accepting that. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. I'm going to go out and find the muse instead of waiting on the muse to arrive.
Stephen King, we talked about him in another episode. He had some very harsh advice. It was that writer's block is for amateurs, and pro writers don't have time to have writer's block. Your job is to show up and write. I know people in the comments will go, well, that's why songs, you know, they're not writing from inspiration. No, you sit down and write and the inspiration shows up. You're learning to find inspiration daily. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not waiting for that chance moment that inspiration comes. The more you sit down and practice, the more inspiration shows up. So if I write daily and inspiration shows up twice a week, that's better than writing two songs every 6 months when inspiration just happens to hit.
Yeah.
You know, or you have to wait until you break up with your girlfriend to get that, you know, inspiration to pour your heart into a song. You don't have to do that, you know, but the first step is, like you said, sit your butt in the chair. And the more you do that, the more you'll find that the muse shows up, you know?
One of the funniest things in that book to me was he was talking about being at a writer's conference. And he said, this speaker got up and said, you know, it's just hard to find the words for what I'm feeling right now. And he said he wanted to scream, then why the freak are you a writer if you can't find the words? And kind of the point he was making was, then go find them. You know, if instead of accepting that, go find the words to describe what you're trying to do. What's next?
Rejection is good.
Oh, really?
And it's so hard. I remember when I first started writing that I was so attached to these songs that I wrote that if anyone said anything negative about a song, it would just devastate me. That was my identity. It was who I was. Mm-hmm. And I heard Ryan Tedder in an interview the other day talk about this, is you have to divorce yourself. You have to let go of those songs. You write those songs and you pour your heart into it. But at the end of the day, you're going to have great songs that never see the light of day. See what I did there? End of the day, the light of the day.
Yeah.
So you have to, you just have to learn to get through that. And I think the more you write, the easier it gets, you know, to face that rejection. But I thought Taylor Swift had an interesting take when one of her albums did not get nominated for any awards, that she said, you know, they asked her about it and she said, well, I'm just going to have to write a better album next time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the ultimate taking responsibility for your craft, for your own success, and getting rid of that excuses. And that rejection drove her to write a better record, you know? Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, rejection is your best opportunity to learn. Because if I play a song for an A&R person at a record label, and they go, oh, yeah, I love that, and they take it, and nothing ever happens with it, I don't ever know
why
it didn't get recorded. But if that A&R person says, well, you know, that second verse talks about kids, and he doesn't have kids, and so he's probably not going to sing this song. I go, oh, okay. I learned something.
Right.
You know, so I think if you can look at rejection as your best opportunity to learn, then you're going to have a lot more, you're going to make a lot less mistakes because you're going to put new tools in your toolbox. You're going to learn why things don't work and you can correct that stuff going forward. Yeah.
And you know, as a writer, when you're on a roll and it feels like every song you're writing, somebody's recording.
I don't know that feeling. No.
Well, we've had periods where it felt like a lot of what we were writing was getting recorded. Mm-hmm. And then you're not learning anything because it encourages you to do more of that.
More of the same, yeah.
Yeah, rather. But when you're getting your ass handed to you, it's like, oh, I got to figure this out quick, you know. Yeah. And you step up your game.
Yeah. The next one is stop distracting yourself. You know, one thing that I preach a lot in Songtown is that, you know, find what you're really good at and figure out how to be world class at that. And you kind of alluded to this earlier, I think, about somebody, you know, I can't succeed till I become a great piano player.
Right, right.
Well, if I have to take voice lessons and become a great singer, and I have to take guitar lessons, become a great guitar player, and then I have to take lessons on engineering, become a great engineer. Mm-hmm. If I have to do all those things to become a great writer, I'm never going to become a great writer because I'm not spending time trying to learn how to be a great writer. I'm learning all these other things that are kind of around it, which can help me, but they can also be big distractions.
Right.
You know, so if I'm spending all my time trying to be decent at things I'm okay at, that's not going to help me in the long run. And for me, the way this played out was in the beginning, I thought, I want to be the guy who can record all my own demos. So I bought all this equipment and I started reading the manuals and watching tutorials. And a year later and a lot of money later, I realized my tracks are never going to be great. They may not even be good. They're just going to be decent.
If Suno had been around when you went through that phase, you would go, oh, I'll just go to Suno and get a demo.
Exactly. But, you know, I quickly realized I need to spend my time trying to learn to be a great songwriter and a great lyricist specifically. And sure, I can learn some of those other things on the side, but my main focus is going to be learning how to be a better songwriter.
Yeah. Awesome. That leads me, I said Suno, that leads me to the last point. And I think that moving forward in music, we're going to have to be more aware of this than ever before. There are no easy buttons to success. Whether you want to, if you want to be a truly great writer and just for your own satisfaction, or if you want to be a career songwriter, if you want to be an artist, whatever your goals are, there's not going to be an easy button to getting better at your craft.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with the advent of AI, tech companies want to sell you on this. Oh, you don't write music? Don't worry. We'll write the lyrics for you. Or you don't do music, you write lyrics? Don't worry. We'll do the music for you. That's a temporary easy button. It's a temporary high. But to get into the real world, you still got to understand the craft of what makes a great song. Otherwise, you won't even know if that melody that it spits out is any good or not. It'll sound good, but is it really what's going to fit your lyric? The more you understand all the little finer details of songwriting and the craft of writing, then it's going to make your life a lot easier. But it takes the hard work to get to that easy point.
Yeah. I've literally had someone ask me, what's the secret to being able to just like mail in songs from Oklahoma and have number one songs like you do? And I'm like, if I could do that, I would be on an island somewhere.
Hawaii, you know? Here we come.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just not a thing, you know? And so I think one thing.
Now you can get on a record and live out of town. You don't have to live in a music city. That's not what you're talking about.
Because no, he wanted to know how to regularly just, you know, yeah. Every time I write, where do I mail it to so they can make it a number one?
Right, yeah.
And that's just not a thing.
Yes.
Sorry, but it's just not a thing. You know, so yes, you can get, we've had people in Songtown get major label cuts who lived in Washington State. So yeah. I'm not talking about that, but even that person didn't just mail those things in and have success.
I mean, you have to do a lot of work, and Songtown can help you get your songs. We have the Edge program where you're working with publishers. We can help you get your songs to publishers and artists, but it requires work. It's just not an easy task.
True. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
All right, y'all. Little tough love, cut out the excuses, and let's get to working on our dreams.
Your life is not interesting.
I don't care.
See you.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.